By the end of that year, the increasingly imperious de Gaulle had so offended many within the Allied governments and armies, particularly U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, that a plan was discussed to replace him with someone more malleable. The Americans believed they had found the perfect man for the job, General Henri Giraud, one of France's most respected military officials, a man with a record far more distinguished than de Gaulle's. Churchill approved, and Giraud was named Commander-in-Chief of French forces in North Africa. Sensing the Allied plot, de Gaulle requested a personal meeting with Giraud to discuss the situation. After much bureaucratic wrangling, he was granted permission and arrived in Algiers in May 1943. The two men were at each other's throats almost immediately, each making demands to which the other could never agree. Finally, de Gaulle compromised, proposing a committee that would prepare to lead a post-war France. He drafted a document naming Giraud as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces and co-president of France with de Gaulle. In return, de Gaulle got the committee to be expanded in size and cleansed of officials with Vichy connections. Giraud was satisfied and signed on. Shortly thereafter, however, Giraud left Algiers for a visit to the United States, and de Gaulle, in his absence, filled the expanded committee with Gaullist sympathizers and resistance members. Upon Giraud's return, he discovered that he had been stripped of much of his political power. Isolated on a committee that he had helped to form, he had no way to defend himself. And in a matter of months, de Gaulle was named sole president, then commander-in-chief. Giraud was quietly retired. Roosevelt and Churchill tried to intervene, making various threats, but in the end, they were powerless. Those BBC broadcasts that had started out so innocently were now listened to avidly by millions of Frenchmen. Through Moulin, de Gaulle had gained almost complete control of the French resistance. A break with de Gaulle would put the Allies' relationship with the resistance in jeopardy. And the committee that de Gaulle had helped form to govern post-war France was now recognized by governments around the world. To take on the general in any kind of political struggle would be a public relations nightmare, destructive to the war effort. Somehow, this once undistinguished general had forged a kind of empire under his control, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. Interpretation. Had de Gaulle announced his intentions, he would have been seen as a dangerous mix of delusion and ambition. And had he grabbed for power too quickly, he would have shown those intentions. Instead, supremely patient and with an eye on his goal, he took one small bite at a time. Because he proceeded in such a piecemeal fashion, no one really noticed what he was up to. When Churchill and Roosevelt realized how far he had insinuated himself into the resistance and into the minds of the British and American publics as France's destined post-war leader, it was too late to stop him. His preeminence was a fait accompli. It is not easy to make one's way in this world, to strive with energy to get what you want without incurring the envy or antipathy of others, who may see you as aggressive and ambitious, someone to thwart. The answer is not to lower your ambitions, but rather to disguise them. A piecemeal approach to conquest of anything is perfect for these political times, the ultimate mask of aggression. The key to making it work is to have a clear sense of your objective, the empire you want to forge, and then to identify the small, outlying areas of the empire that you will first gobble up. Each bite must have a logic in an overall strategy, but must be small enough that no one senses your larger intentions. If your bites are too big, you will take on more than you are ready for and find yourself overwhelmed by problems. If you bite too fast, other people will see what you are up to. Let the passage of time masterfully disguise your intentions and give you the appearance of someone of modest ambition. By the time your rivals wake up to what you have consumed, they risk being consumed themselves if they stand in your way.